Jesus, what a friend for sinners, Jesus, lover of my soul.
Welcome to the Unknown Bible, the broadcast ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. Join us now for today's Bible study with our pastor, Bevins Welder.
Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 3. In this proverb, we read the following. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. We'll read it again, giving you a chance to try to capture every word and listen carefully to what the Bible says. A prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. Now, what you're dealing with here is the case of a man that looks far enough down the road to see a danger coming, and then he takes the necessary precautions to keep from getting hurt or to keep from getting killed or to keep from getting punished by whatever happens down the road. A simple man, on the other hand, just keeps right on going until he gets into the danger, and then he winds up in big trouble. Now, in foreseeing the evil, there are days of evil historically that we can look at, and there are days of evil that are coming. The great day of evil in the Bible that is coming is the white throne judgment found in Revelation chapter 20. Let's read about that. Since, after all, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, let's see what this evil day is about. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 20, verse 11, And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Now that's a terrible thing. There's no earth and there's no heaven where anybody can hide at this time because they flee away. And suddenly the dead are just standing there before God, whether they are small or whether they're great, there they are. And they're judged out of the things in the books. Now, if they're not written in the book of life, then they're cast into the lake of fire. You know what a prudent man will do? A prudent man will see that in the Bible, and he'll say, you know something? God has done me a favor in that he has allowed to let me look down the road just a little further. He has allowed me to foresee the evil that I'm going to face, and given me an opportunity to do something about it. Last night I had the opportunity to visit a couple in their home, and I was with them for, 2.5 hours. And we visited at length, and it was a great conversation because we could just take our time going through the Bible. They could ask questions. The Bible had an answer for every question they raised. And as we went through the gospel, they saw clearly, after the first three things that I had said, they saw clearly that they're in a hopeless condition without Christ. Every man is. And they saw that what was awaiting them was a fiery eternity. And you know, when they saw that, it was a very troubling thing. And then I showed them two other things regarding the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, whereby Jesus Christ had substituted him for them in those bad things, and whereby they could receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior and get out of the trouble. Now, they recognize right away that the solution to their problem is the remedy of Jesus Christ. But they have a lot of religious training in their background for the last 50 years. And so they wanted some time to carefully consider what they had heard last night. And I understand that. But you know what I believe? I believe with all my heart, very soon, as they weigh what they've heard, because they were very responsive, I believe that they will trust the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. You know why? Because they both appear to be very prudent. And you know what a prudent man will do? He will foresee the evil, and he will hide himself. You say, well, when somebody foresees the evil of the white throne judgment, where are they supposed to hide? Because there's not going to be any heaven, and there's not going to be any earth, there'll be no place for them to hide. As a matter of fact, they can't hide in hell, and they can't hide in the sea, and they can't hide in death, because those things will all be giving up the dead which are in them, and death and hell will be cast into the lake of fire. So that, you know, the question is, where are you going to hide? Well, Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 tells you where you're going to hide. Colossians chapter 3, verse 3 says, for you are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. The place to hide is in the Lord Jesus Christ. When a man gets saved, he is literally baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and that's where you would reside, in Christ. And the Bible says, in Christ shall all be made alive. And that way, when you die, instantly you're with the Lord Jesus Christ in heaven. You see, the place to hide is in Jesus Christ. Why? Because he's going to be here forever. And when all these other things pass away, he'll still be here. And you'll be in him, and you'll live forever. Now, you know what the simple people will do? The simple, you know, when you think of simple, that's like a simpleton, right? That's somebody that just doesn't use his brain that God's given him to figure any of this out, doesn't apply any faith that God would allow him to have in order to be saved. He just decides he wants to be simple and go right on his own way. The simple pass on and are punished. And the simple will go right on to face that day without ever taking any more precaution than to profess his own self-righteousness and then wait on the judgment to see how it turns out. That's what he's going to do. Now, if you listen to the broadcast routinely and regularly, you've heard me use an illustration before that I'm going to use again, but I only tell you that so that you'll understand that this is an illustration that shows just the simpleness of a man who refuses to believe what God said. Several years ago, we were walking in a neighborhood, and we were knocking on doors, passing out tracts, and visiting with people about the Lord. And this was in the daytime during the working hours, and there was a city crew working on a wastewater drain, stormwater drain, not a wastewater, a stormwater drain. And you know how it goes. Oftentimes you've got time when work is being done by a backhoe, for instance, and the men that are there to assemble some things or whatever have to wait on the backhoe to finish up the work. And so these men were standing around waiting on the backhoe to finish digging. And so I engaged them in a conversation and began to witness to him. And one of the fellows that I'd witnessed to said to me, this is exactly how he put it, I am going to take my chances on the judgment. I am going to live my life like I've been living it, and I'll wait, and then God can sort it out when I'm done. Let me tell you something. That is the attitude of a simpleton, because God has already revealed for you how the judgment is going to go, and he has already given you the basis for that judgment. And when you know the basis for that judgment is whether or not you have received the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have to wait on the judgment to find out how it's going to go for you. You simply receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you know how it's going to go for you. You'll pass the judgment. But a simpleton won't do that. He'll pass right on, and he'll be punished. You know, it's amazing when the Bible shows you how something like this is going to turn out. It's amazing that God would tell you that if you weren't so simple as to ignore him, you could be saved. Seriously, I read for you in Revelation chapter 20, verse 15, I read to you a verse that said something about whosoever. And the verse said this, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That's what it said. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. But you know, there's another whosoever. The other whosoever is, and this is very important for you if you've never done this, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And it's not a matter of just calling upon his name. I know you've already done that. You've prayed. It's not just that. It's a matter of calling on his name for salvation. The Bible says right before that verse that if you if a man confess with his mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in his heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved, see. It's a matter of putting all your faith and all your trust in what he's already done for you. And you don't have to wait. You foresee the day of evil, and you know what preparations to make if you're not a simpleton, if you're a prudent man or a prudent woman. All right, there's another great day of evil that's coming, that's actually coming before the white throne judgment. And you would do well to recognize this day of evil and be a prudent man, foreseeing the evil, and hide yourself. That day of evil that's coming is the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And look what's going to happen on that day. It's found in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 and verse 7. Now, what happens on this day? All right, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 7, to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, how? In flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his power. That's the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. When Jesus Christ comes at his second coming, he is coming in flaming fire. It is a day of vengeance. It is against those that know not God, agnostics, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is a day of punishment, everlasting destruction. All right, if you're a prudent man or a prudent woman, you'll see that day and you'll hide yourself. Because you see, if you wait until you know the Lord Jesus Christ is on his way to attempt to hide yourself, then you're going to be like all the simpletons who wait until that day. And let me tell you something, when they hide, they're going to hide, but they're going to hide in the wrong place. Look in Revelation chapter 6 at verse 15. Revelation chapter 6 and look at verse 15. All right, in Revelation chapter 6, verse 15, the Bible says, and the kings of the earth and the great men and the rich men and the chief captains and the mighty men and every bondman and every free man, watch it, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand? Wow. So they're hiding because they know it's a bad day, but they're hiding in the dens. They're hiding in the rocks of the mountains. And they're asking for these rocks to fall on them and hide them. Well, either that's suicide if the rocks fall on them, or it's to shield them by sealing them off in the dens where they've hidden. Well, if that's the case, they're never going to get out anyway. They're going to die inside of that. They just don't want to die the death of the wrath of God, you see. Well, let me tell you something. If you wait until you know for sure that the Lord is coming back because you have put it off too long, then you are going to be, I mean, the Bible already tells you, you're going to be hiding in a hiding place that will destroy you. Now, the only prudent thing to do, knowing what you've just been told, is to believe Jesus and to do what God said to protect yourself. What you need to do to protect yourself right now is that you need to trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. And when you do, the Bible says that right before that time comes, but before there's ever a period called the tribulation, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to return to this earth. And when he does, he is going to take all of those who have trusted him off of the earth to be with him in heaven. I'm talking about their bodies. Your soul goes to be with him right after you die. But your body goes to be with him at the rapture of the church. The Bible says, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Did you see that? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain. Listen, if the Lord Jesus Christ were to come for his church now, and you are saved, you and I would not die. That's what Jesus told Martha. He that liveth and believeth in me shall never die. We'd never die. We'd just be changed. We'd be caught up together with them, those that were dead in Christ, in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Let me tell you something. That is the place to hide. That is the thing to do. A prudent man, after the church is gone, would do what God said in order to protect himself. He would keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. He would have faith in Jesus Christ and keep the commandments of God. You find that in Revelation chapter 12, verse 17. And you find that in Revelation chapter 14, verse 12. You see, salvation in the tribulation is a little bit different than it is during the church age, in that during the tribulation, men are not baptized by the Holy Spirit into the body of Christ, and they're not eternally secure. They must keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. And then that way, if they refuse the mark of the beast, and they refuse to worship his image, and they refuse to take his name, then they go to heaven. You know, during the tribulation, there's going to be great pressure for people to follow the masses, great economic pressure, because without the mark of the beast, you can't buy and sell. You're not going to get anything to eat unless somebody gives it to you, or unless you're fed by the manna out in the wilderness, which is reserved for the Jews. So you got problems, see. Listen, I saw this stuff. I foresaw the evil. I got saved. That's what I'm imploring you to do. Listen, during the tribulation, a simple man will pass right on without taking any consideration in any of this, and then he's going to die and he's going to go to hell. The Bible says in Revelation chapter 14, verse 9, and the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image, and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever. And they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. Now, a simpleton will wait to see if that what I just read to you is true, and then he's going to be too late. A prudent man, a prudent woman will believe what he's just heard or believe what she has just heard and say, you know what, I'm going to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. I am going to be prudent. I'm going to hide myself in Jesus. I'm not going to go through that. Look, you know, people get the idea that nothing bad like this will ever happen because God is a God of love. Let me tell you, all you have to do is look back in the history of God's dealings with men, and you'll know not only is this coming, it's already happened before. And history repeats itself. There was evil coming to Sodom and Gomorrah, the bad fire and brimstone that buried that city and destroyed that city and the other two with it, Admah and Zeboim. And simple-minded Lot should have known what to expect. You see, because when Lot divided from Abram and went down that way to graze his cattle, you know, the Bible says he didn't go all the way to Sodom and Gomorrah. In Genesis chapter 13, he just pitched his tent toward Sodom. He was in the plain toward Sodom, but he wasn't in Sodom. And the Bible says in Genesis 13:13, you'd know, you'd find a verse like this in Genesis 13:13 because, you know, that's a very negative, you know, 13:13, that's a bad couple of numbers right there. The Bible says, but the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. Lot knew what was coming. He knew God wouldn't put up with that. Why? Well, he remembered the story of, not the story, but the incident of Noah. He knew what God was going to do. Now, you go over here to Genesis chapter 18, and when you get to Genesis chapter 18, God tells Abram what's fixing to happen, so Abraham goes to praying. And then in Genesis chapter 19, we don't find Lot in his tents in the plains outside of Sodom. We find him right smack dab in the middle of town, in the gate of the city where, you know, where official decisions are made. There came two angels, Genesis 19:1 says, there came two angels to Sodom at even, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. Man, he was just right there with them. You know what that is? That's what that is. That's that tolerance that comes. You know, you're faced with immorality all around you. It's just shoved in your face 24/7, and you don't want it. But now all of a sudden it concerns your family, and you don't want to break off your relationship with your family, so you start tolerating that stuff. Guess what? Next thing you know, you're right smack dab down in the middle of it. When these men started misbehaving and tried to commit sodomy with the angels, a lot went out to plead with him and call them brethren. Man, he'd become one of them. He wasn't doing what they were doing, but he was right down there in the midst of it. You know something? He lost everything in the fire. He lost his wife to disobedience. She turned into a pillar of salt. He got out with two of his daughters. He got out with some wine. After the influence of alcohol, he slept with both of them. They conceived, and enemies of the Jews were born to those girls. What a terrible, terrible tragedy. He should have stayed up in the mountain like Abraham did. You know why? Because that's where he ended up anyway. Once he had flown to Zoar and he realized the men there were just as bad as they were in Sodom and Gomorrah, he went on up to the mountain where he should have been in the first place. Listen, listen. There was evil coming to Jericho. Rahab knew it. When she hid the spies, she made a deal with them and took the necessary precautions. And the Bible says in Joshua chapter 2 and in Joshua chapter 6 verse 17 that she and her family hid in her house. And so when the wall came down, her house, which was on the wall, was spared. And the simple, what'd they do? She was prudent. The simple just stood there on the wall, looking over the wall at these Jews marching around there till everything collapsed and they were punished and destroyed by Joshua and the armies. But not Rahab. She saw what was coming, boy, and she took the necessary precaution. She hid herself in the room where the spies told her to hide and kept that scarlet thread bound in the window so that she would survive. That was prudent. That was very prudent. You know, when Jesus Christ was here on the earth, he warned the Pharisees what was going to happen, and the Pharisees believed that they could just keep right on going to the temple after they killed Jesus, and they were wrong. In 70 AD, Titus came in and just destroyed everything, exactly like Jesus said that they would, and like he would in Matthew chapter 24. They could have believed him. They should have believed him, but they didn't. Those who did, you know what? They had a place to offer sacrifices. Hebrews chapter 13 says that we get to offer spiritual sacrifices, which are acceptable to God. While those Pharisees who still wanted to offer blood sacrifices that were unnecessary because Jesus Christ had shed his blood, died and went to hell. And Jesus told them they would. How shall you escape the damnation of hell, he told them. So how about it? Are you going to be prudent or are you going to be simple? I mean simple, spelled S-T-U-P-I-D. You're going to be prudent? S-M-A-R-T, or are you going to be simple? S-T-U-P-I-D. I mean, the choice is so easy. Jesus has told you what to expect, so count on it and hide yourself in him. Look at the condition of your life. Look in the mirror and tell yourself, you know what? Wake yourself up and say, you need to receive Jesus Christ, man. You need to make it to heaven. You need to get out of this trouble. You're not going to stick around here or want to stick around here when the trouble starts. That, listen, receiving Jesus Christ as your Savior to escape the coming torment and tragedy, that's such a no-brainer precaution. Listen, I know how you are. You listen to the radio, you go to the internet, you check the newspaper, or you check the television. But from time to time, you check the weatherman. And if you're going to believe him when he's wrong about 50% of the time and make preparations based upon what he said, like making preparations for hurricanes, remember how you made preparations for Rita last year? You're going to make preparations for hurricanes based upon what he said. Listen, the sky was blue and beautiful. We had no effect from either Katrina or Rita, but you made preparations. Why? Because you were concerned that there was a good possibility you might suffer consequence. So you made the precaution. Well, if you're going to make preparations for a hurricane, then why not make preparations for what Jesus Christ said is coming? He's right 100% of the time. He's never wrong. Make preparations for his coming storm. I mean, even at the end of all this, at the end of the thousand-year reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 3, he's going to melt this whole place down with fire anyway. You know, looking back, I would guess, if you were prudent, that you probably made some preparations for Y2K, and it never happened. So why are you not making preparations for what Jesus Christ said when you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that he is right, he has always been right, and he will always be right? I mean, listen, without Jesus Christ, you're on your way to hell. You say, well, I don't know whether I got him or not. Then you need him. If you don't know, you need him. I asked that couple last night. I said, if you were to die tonight, and I'm not wishing that on you tonight. I'm not wishing that on them. But I said, if you were to die tonight, Are you 100% sure that you would go to heaven? Both of them looked me right in the eye and said, no. They didn't beat around the bush. They didn't hem and haw. They didn't say, I hope so. They didn't say, I think so. They didn't say what member of the church they were. They simply said, N-O. And without Christ, that is the right answer. Today, I'm going to ask you the same question. If you were to die tonight, are you 100% sure that you'd go to heaven? And if you say, no, I'm not 100% sure, then you know what you need? You need Jesus. You need Jesus. You say, well, I've believed in him. Yeah, well, you hadn't received him by faith. Somebody said, well, I receive him every Sunday when I take communion. If you had received him, you'd be born again. If you've been born again, that's a one-time transaction. Receiving Jesus Christ by faith is something you only need to do once. Going every Sunday to do that is not the same thing as putting your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation. Okay? Those are different things. Putting your faith in Jesus Christ for salvation is like you are left with no other hope, no other expectation of living except that you put all of your faith in Jesus Christ plus nothing. And if he didn't say what he said and believe, and if you can't believe what he said, or I mean, you know, if he lied about what he said and you're believing him, then you're going to burn. But he didn't lie about what he said. He said, if you'll take him, he'll take you. Receive the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's what you need to do. Listen. You can call us on the telephone. This is Bible Believers Baptist Church. This is Pastor Welder preaching to you, Bevins Welder. You can call us on the telephone and say, okay, preacher, how do I receive Christ? I'll tell you how. Nothing to gain for us. It's all for you. 361-241-6100. The number again is 361-241-6100. You say, I don't really like talking to people. I'd rather read it. Okay, then go to our website. www.unknownbible.com. That's www.unknownbible.com. Go there, look on the links, you'll see a link, or on the info tab, you'll see a link to Eternal Life. You'll see that little up there on the toolbar. Click it. It's Eternal Life. Click on Eternal Life, and there is a gospel presentation written out for you with the verses so that you can see it. You can receive Jesus Christ simply by reading that. The question is, are you going to do it? Are you going to be prudent and take the precaution so that you can escape the evil? Or are you just going to go right on like you've always been doing and wind up punished? What are you going
to
do?
You have been listening to The Unknown Bible, the radio ministry of Bible Believers Baptist Church in Corpus Christi, Texas. For information about our church, go to our church website at www.my3bc.com. That's my, the number 3, bc.com. If you would like to contact us by telephone, our number is 361-241-6100. Bible Believers Baptist Church is a Bible-believing church located at 1701 Rand Morgan Road. If you are not currently a member of a Bible-believing church and you are looking for a church with an uncompromising stand on the words of God, come visit with us this Sunday or Wednesday. We would love to see you.
Hallelujah.